The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up.
Good afternoon and welcome to Tando Radio Show. My name is Scotty Reed. I guess y'all probably figured that out by now. Dave is running a little late. He may be about 40 minutes late today, so I am taking over the hosting duties as we introduce Tando Radio Show for you today on this October the 5th in the year that they call 2016. It is also a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday evening, and that means Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis. So we got Brother Davis sitting in queue, and he will be joining us shortly to get started with Wise Wednesdays for today here on Tando Radio Show, brought to you by the Black Talk Radio Network. Let me just follow Dave's format. I've been listening to him so long, I pretty much got it down. So y'all know what's coming next, right? Let's take care of the business at hand. Let's support the Black Talk Media Project, which created the Black Talk Radio Network, as well as the new social media platform for a new social media experience for black folks, and that is btrcommunity.com. If you go to blacktalkmediaproject.org, not only will you find some of the services that we offer to clients, but you'll also see information about why you should donate and support independent black media, and you will be able to make a donation. There are several ways you can make a donation. The one I like to push the most is the $25 or more donation, which will get you a free thank you t-shirt that says Black Radio Stations Matter. And while some people take that phrase when we say something matters and they'll say no it don't, and I'm not gonna play them games. Look, independent black media matters. It matters because there are so very few independent black outlets for black voices that's going to tell you the truth and provide you with information that you're not going to get from the mainstream media. So you know that. Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that, but the mainstream media, it seems their number one job is to keep you focused on drama instead of focused on real information and providing you with the news in the proper context so that you can make the right decisions. And so that is what we do through the Black Talk Media Project and have done for the past 8 years. We've come a long, long way since we started in 2008. And actually, we're coming up on our anniversary here in November, but we started with one program, just one program. It was me all by myself, Black Talk Radio News. I don't know what I called the show back then, but it was just me by myself. And shortly after, we were joined by another black media producer, Gus T. Renegade of the Cows. After they got kicked off of Blog Talk Radio, they came to Black Talk Radio, worked with him, showed him how to do broadcasting, real broadcasting. I don't know what they call that over there at Blog Talk Radio. It sounds like people are talking through a rag or something sometimes. That's how I've heard people describe it to me. And so, and we've just grown ever since, adding new programs to the station, adding new stations to the platform, BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. So for all those who do contribute, thank you so very much. I'm telling you, we wouldn't be here without those contributions, because as a matter of principle, the Black Talk Media Project does not apply for grants from corporations or governments, whether that be the federal government or state government. And believe me, there is some money out there to be had if you're willing to go along with their programming. And we are not willing to go along with their programming, because we are creating our own programming. So, yeah, you can go to either blacktalkmediaproject.org or go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, and you'll find the ways that you can donate. Another way that we plan to fund media centers across this nation and globally, if possible, whatever budget the people provide, we will do the most with it. And so, but as a way to raise funds for physical media centers in our communities, where we will compete with the local media there that is lying to the people. So that is what BTRcommunity.com fulfills a number of things, as well as providing a safe digital space for black people wanting to engage in social media without giving up their privacy, without you know, we trolling your information, trying to sell you stuff. So we're not trying to sell you anything, but we do want you to get a subscription. And the subscription started just $24 a year. $24 a year. So we can grow this social media network to about 100,000 members. That will provide us with a $2.4 million a year budget. And just think what we could do with independent black media with that kind of budget. So btrcommunity.com, if you engage in social media, by all means join us at btrcommunity.com. All right, I do want to go over a couple of news stories that caught my eye. I just scanned over BTRcommunity.com when Dave let me know I was going to have to sit in for him. And I know he likes to share a couple of news articles before he gets into the meat of his program. So I want to take a look at a couple of articles, that are on BTRcommunity.com. Give me just a moment as I try to scroll down and get to those. But one of the things that I saw, it pertains to my state of North Carolina, my home state, where my family has roots going back to before it was a state, before it was a colony. But there is a very troubling news coming out of North Carolina. I'm going to share just a couple of paragraphs from North Carolina Policy Watch. It was a post published by Brian Kennedy. Again, this is North Carolina Policy Watch, and it says, every night, people in almost 630,000 North Carolina households don't have enough to eat. North Carolina has the eighth highest rate of food insecurity in the nation. And according to a Gallup study, Winston-Salem and Greensboro have the fourth and fifth highest rates of hunger across the nation's 100 largest metropolitan areas. And again, for those that, you know, never been to North Carolina, don't know too much about the demographics, I would say Winston-Salem and Greensboro have higher than average population percentage of black and other non-white people. And, you know, unfortunately, because of income inequality in this nation of the racist variety, it's people who are suffering of all different classifications. And, you know, I care about human beings, period. That's just the way I roll. But at the same time, I'm not ignoring the racism like a lot of people want to try to act like don't exist. So I would say that is why Winston-Salem and Greensboro had a fourth and fifth highest rates of hunger across the nation's 100 metropolitan areas. I also have some other thoughts about that, because as many of the states, especially here in the South, in red states where they have Republican control governments, they have, and I'm not just going to put it all on Republicans either, because President Obama has agreed to more than one cut to the SNAP program. That's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. I think that's the official name of it. But food stamps. And so he has agreed to more than one cut since he's been in office. Might have been at least about three. I want to say three, a minimum two that I know of that he has cut. While, you know, the military budget continues to grow, they continue to waste money fighting the drug war. They just find ways to waste money. But really, and the ones who are in control of the purse strings, they not wasting money. They, because war is profitable. You can't make money off the military industrial complex unless you bombing somebody or you know, killing people and having these undeclared wars that aren't actually wars from the constitutional standpoint. And so, yeah, they're dumping all in the prison complex, the private prison complex as well. I mean, they just find all kind of ways to fatten the pockets of the fat cats in this country while the middle class continues to shrink and shrink and shrink, and more people find themselves in poverty. It goes on to say, a food secure household means that all members of the home have access to enough healthy and nutritious food to support an active and healthy lifestyle. Homes that have low food security often must make tough choices about the amount and quality of food they are able to provide their families. Homes that are considered to have very low food security often miss meals. So that's the state of things in terms of hunger here in North Carolina. Again, another reason why you should be tuned in to this station, Black Talk Radio Network, why you should be tuned in to Tando Radio Show, because often these sort of things like food, being able to grow your own food, being able to identify food sources are things that are discussed on this program. I think they were just talking about some of that kind of stuff yesterday. And so, you know, I imagine, though, it's tougher to find food when you live in an urban area, when you live in a city, because if you live in a rural area like where I live, well, hell, all I got to do is catch some worms in the morning, dig up some worms, and make my way to the river or one of these ponds around here that's full of catfish, and I'm going to have some dinner that night. Or I just got to go, you know, about a half a mile into the woods behind my house and find me some deer to kill or something, or pop off some squirrels or lay out some rabbit traps. And then, you know, my relatives and neighbors farming, they always bringing us food and stuff, vegetables and what have you. So, you know, I really feel for people that are in a lot tougher situation than what I find myself in. That's why I don't like to complain about my problems too much. My problems are other people's problems. That's the way I try to approach life, you know, because soon as I think I got it bad, I can always find somebody doing a whole lot worse than me. All right, so here's another story. It's a related story that one of the members posted last night. and it's a lot of stuff being posted, so y'all bear with me as I scrolled down. But what I recall from the article, it was talking about how Colorado is addressing hunger in Colorado with all that tax money, that tax revenue that they are raising from the legalization of cannabis. And again, I know it's people out there who have been brainwashed by the, what's that film that came out in the 1930s about Reefer Madness? And you think that when people smoke weed, that they're ready to go crazy and go rape people and rob people, and they become violent and all of that and start hallucinating and all that kind of crazy stuff? No, pure cannabis, if it hasn't been tainted with anything else like embalming fluid or any other crazy stuff they want to try to put into some garbage that they didn't grow and so they trying to hype it up or whatever, but if it is cannabis that is grown naturally, man, come off of that Reefer Madness stuff. And then besides that, who are you to be telling somebody what they can and cannot put into their bodies? Now, we can make recommendations to people all day long and come up with valid reasons of why they should not engage in this activity or that activity. But I've yet to hear somebody come up with a valid reason about cannabis, why people need to be protected from cannabis. I have heard even doctors give out some propaganda talking about it make you want to sit around and do nothing. You know, like you just going to be sitting around staring at the walls and listening to music and all this and that. Man, we need to come off of these stereotypes and start, you know, dealing in logic. And our ancestors, indigenous people all over the world, have used these type of plants as herbal remedies as well as food sources, which cannabis, a lot of people don't know, is a source of food. And it could be a very abundant source of food if it wasn't being prohibited by people who want to take your free will away from you and tell you, oh, I know better than you, so I'm going to tell you what you can and cannot grow, what you can and cannot ingest. And if you don't want to go along with what I say, then I'm going to put you into slavery for it. What kind of person is that? And some of these people, they'll have you think they well-meaning and they really care about people and all this and that. And either they're full of bad information or they got ulterior motives. Okay? It's as simple as that. So here in Colorado, excuse me, not here in Colorado, but in Colorado, they have been making money hand over fist just by taxing cannabis. Not to mention the fact that it has, regardless of what some of these people try to tell you, that it has had no impact on the racist system of enslavement in Colorado. That's simply untrue. You got to, you know, do some mental gymnastics to try to bend some logic when their statistics say that arrests for cultivation, consumption, and distribution are down over 95%. You ain't gonna tell me that, oh, it's had no impact on how many black people was getting arrested and put in prison. Now, what the slave catchers have done in Colorado is started refocusing their efforts on those who are 21 and under. But make no mistake, the statistics say those type of arrests have went down 95%. That's 95% of people who were getting arrested for that who are not getting arrested for it. So I don't care how you try to spin the facts and what. All you can do is come up with lies and lie to people and what have you. But not only are people not being enslaved over a plant that the creator have given us, that our ancestors have used for thousands of years, but that money is funding their schools, so there are no school closings in Colorado because of the budget or anything like that. Then I read that they were making so much money, they was going to start giving all the Colorado citizens a rebate check. okay, for their taxes and what have you. And then now I'm hearing that they are taking that money and addressing the homeless and the hunger issues in that state. I ain't hearing nothing but good news coming out of Colorado. And since also, you know, I know it's going to be naysayers out there, people who just want to have it their way. And it's either their way or the highway, because they don't respect other people's individual liberty and freedom or to have enough sense to make their own choices. You know, these people think that they're in control of their minds, but they're really not. Because they have bought into the propaganda that has been put out for decades, just so they can continue slavery, okay? So, anyway, that is good news coming out of Colorado that they will be using some of those funds that they have been getting from taxing cannabis sales in the state, will be using that money to address hunger and homelessness in the state. I mean, wow, that's just great news, man. I just don't see how anybody can look at that state and, you know, it's legalizing cannabis on all fronts, medicinal and recreational. I just don't see how anybody can say that's a bad thing that's happening in that state. The auto accidents are not up. I mean, they've had enough time to really get some data. There are not a bunch of people having accidents because all of a sudden cannabis is legal. And children are not all of a sudden smoking a bunch of weed. And so youth use of cannabis has not gone up. It has not gone up. So all the stuff the propagandists were putting out there, the statistical data is proving those things to be straight up lies. I mean, you just really got to ask yourself a question, why another man or woman would want to take your free will away from you and then claim to be doing something to help you and putting you into slavery for it. That's helping you, really? That's helping me, putting me into slavery, taking away my free will, telling me what I can and cannot grow on my property or in my, or what I can use in my home? Come on, get real. So yeah, that's a story that is great. That's just great news, man. And remember, as I reported on Black Talk Radio News, there will be 4 different states who will have a cannabis legalization initiative on the ballot. So you may not participate in electoral politics or whatnot, but again, I can always find reasons for people to vote, you know, instead of complaining. You know, that's how you get on the jury pool. The jury pool makes the decision on who's going into slavery and what have you. And then when you get these ballot initiatives that express the will of the people, where the only way you can pass them is to vote. But to each his own, is what I say. But those people in those states where cannabis prohibition is being used to enslave people, please, please, please go ahead and vote to legalize cannabis in those states. Let's take this tool away from these slave catchers. And like I always say, until the revolution come, you know, we got to do everything we can to bring relief to the people by any means necessary, is the philosophy that I go by, which was put forth by Malcolm X and others. By any means necessary. If we can free a slave by doing this or doing that, hey, whatever it takes. The point is ending slavery. And if we can bring relief to some of the victims of modern day slavery and human trafficking, again, I say by any means necessary. All right. So we're going to go ahead and take an early station identification break. And then we're going to bring in Brother Davis, who will kick off Wise Wednesday for this October the 5th, 2016. Again, Brother Dave is running a little late. He got held up on some business, and he should be joining us in about 20 minutes, where he'll take over the program. But of course, I'm always here engineering. So if you have any calls, like we always say, don't wait till the last minute. If you have any questions or comments for Brother Davis, the telephone number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. And then hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. That is *61, and that will put you in the caller's queue and signal us that you would like to ask a question or make a comment. Again, you're listening to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network. Black Talk Radio is providing you with new black media for the new millennium. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. All right, welcome back to Tando Radio Show. And I got logged out of the conference line board, so let me get back in there as and then we can bring Brother Davis on so he can get started with Wise Wednesdays. Again, today is October the 5th, 2016. This year is going by so fast. I was ready to say 2017, but it is October the 5th, 2016, on this Wednesday evening. And let's bring Brother Davis into the queue. Brother Davis, do we have you?
I'm saying, do you see anything directly that you can say?
Area code 719.
None of my friends wasn't smoking. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I don't know who that was on 719, but it seemed like we was hearing some radio or something. So I'm going to try you again. Area code 719.
Can you hear me, Scotty?
Yes, I can hear you. Who do we have?
This is Ramon from the 719, man.
Hey, greetings, Ramon. We're just about to get started. Got Brother Davis, but did you have, he's getting ready to get started with Wise Wednesday, but did you have a quick comment?
Oh, no, I was just going to comment on Southern Colorado because, you know, I live here, but go ahead and let Brother Davis, and I'll get mine in later.
Okay, all right. All right, talk to you later. All right, I'm going to put you back in the
Q&A queue is cleared.
On the board, again, if anybody has questions or comments for Brother Davis, hit call 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound, and that's *61 to comment on air. Let's get Brother Davis in here. Brother Davis, do we have...
Good evening. Good evening, brother. It's always good to hear the voice of a friend. How are you?
I'm not going to complain too hard, but hey, I'm doing the best I can under these conditions.
Excellent, excellent. Good evening, brothers and sisters. We are going to be in for a power-packed show tonight. One of the things that we've always looked upon is what would we do when things start jumping off? Or do we have enough supplies? Will our supplies be sufficient? Are we going to be able to get through this here with the frame of mind that we are presently in? Tonight's show is literally an attribute of several. Now, why is it an attribute of several? Because we're going to go into some content of scavenging. Now, scavenging, most people think, oh, well, I mean, I won't have to do that. Never say never. Because, see, in these day and age and time, we do not know what our limitations will be, nor do we know if we have enough resources to meet the demand. And I've been doing some due diligence and some research, and believe me, we can have scavenging for food, we can have scavenging for materials, we can have scavenging for finance. There's a lot of things that scavenging covers. And I want you to make sure of this, that you do not take any aspect of it lightly. Because I'm going to cover some subject matters of my due diligence. And at the end of the show, I'm going to give you references to do your own due diligence that you could follow up if you want to use the clues that I use. Or that it will open doors for your understanding to seek other information about this unique aspect of lifestyle. And when I say aspect of lifestyle, a lot of people live by scavenging. Now, I'm going to tell you what's so unique about me and really beginning to understand scavenging. My wife has this trick of turning someone's trash into treasure and profiting from it. And I used to say, well, you know, baby, do I have to stop? Oh, wait a minute. Let me look at that old table. Oh, baby, come on. I didn't realize that this is a unique art. And what is so unique is it's been right under my nose. Her father and her practiced this for a number of years and literally have unique stories. I like to go to the flea market with them sometimes. I mean, literally, they have a unique art about how to select what they want. The vision they have that they really can't relate to you because you're not in their head. And that's what makes the uniqueness of scavenging. We are right-sided thinkers. What does that mean? We think with the creative aspect of our brain. Left-sided thinkers are analytical, okay? They need to have figures, and they need to be able to jot it down. They need to be able to have a process. Well, what is so great about right-sided thinkers is that they are in a creative mode in most of their time. Most of whatever they're doing, they're in that creative mode. Now, a lot of times, we may not realize how creative we can be. But we literally are taught through our creative aspect. You can give us something and show us the process to reach a solution. But if you allow us to be able to elaborate on that process, the creative part of our nature comes out. So, tonight we're going to cover different aspects of scavenging. I do encourage you to call. Now, why do I encourage you to call? Because you can bring some content to the conversation that I may not have understood or that I may overlook, but would be an actual pearl, a jewel of information for someone else who may be listening, okay? Now, I know some of you are thinking that you won't probably have to scavenge. Maybe you will. And if you do, there are a few things that you should know. And understand this, when you scavenge, you're looking at an opportunity to turn trash into treasure. Turn a simple chair into a work of art. Turn something that someone doesn't need into a tool that can be an aspect of you. So a good scavenger is looking on several levels. They're looking on a life level. They're looking on a nutrition level. They're looking on a level of being able to restore or provide for others, okay? Now, the reason why I say that is because sometimes something you may scavenge may not have a great deal of value to you, but you could see where it can turn into something else. So therefore, you'll take that, and someone else that you may not know may see an opportunity to barter because they need that very thing. So you literally have to consider not only the purpose of what you're picking up, but the possibility. And in understanding the possibilities, there is a plethora of information. And you got to consider, these things are going to change constantly. Why do I say that? I mean, the situations that you will come across. Let me give you some clarity. What if you come across a pregnant woman? She has no place to stay, nothing, no resources, but she might have a medical background. Okay? That actually person can be a good person to add to your group. This may not be the perfect time for her in her present state, but understand how I'm saying this. She may be an attribute to her group if she gets over this particular hump that she's in. And the reality is, these are circumstances that will be coming alive. Okay? What if you ever considered a homeless person? Do you realize homeless people live by scavenging? They scavenge, they beg, and they do other things that doesn't limit the quality of person they are. It just adds to the repertoire of tools that's at their disposal. So, we cannot overlook anything that could offer us an opportunity to be able to expand on who we are, what we are, and in our circumstances.
Brother Davis, really? I have a question.
Yes.
The question,
all right, come on,
that, the question that I have in terms of the homeless and scavenging. Now, I don't do it now, but it was a time when money was real tight, and I had to have the extra money in order to pay the bills for the Black Talk Media Project. I would go donate plasma, and I was getting up to at least $200 a month just for donating plasma. And a lot of I learned a lot of homeless people get by on giving plasma or selling plasma. Would you consider that scavenging?
Absolutely. And see, the best attribute is that it's not scavenging. Is not what people have rejected to you. It's just a tag word. What it is what you do to add to your circumstance. And believe me, some people sit back and have opinions, but they don't know when they will be in that position. So it's best that if you have an opportunity, like you just said, to be able to go and utilize your ability to take a substance and turn it into a cash without hindering the quality of your life, that's definitely an avenue in which to be considered. Now, understand, you may not, in the future, you may not have that avenue as eloquently as Scotty put it. Now, the reason why I say that is because during times when things get rough, literally, they're going to have places like that in which people will be giving blood for food. Okay? And the reason being is because that is fulfilling the need that they have. But understand, nothing is off the table. And that's why I said scavenging covers a plethora of different ideas, ways, and manners in order to fulfill the needs that are before you. And we don't want to consider or overlook the avenues, what places we could go. Stores are good. Even if they've already been scavenged, they're good. Should I say any kind of store is good. Any kind of retail store is good. Distribution centers, all of those are good, okay? Restaurants, all of those are good. The reason why I'm pointing these things out to you is because dealing with the aspect of scavenging you do will open doors to the possibility of what you can do. So, auto parts stores, excellent place to scavenge. Because guess what? You might find an old battery in there, too, that can be an energy resource. Or, how about fan belts? Fan belts always come in handy because, you know what? You can always connect a system of pulleys together to generate energy. So you got an old bike, you don't have a chain, you might find a fan belt in there that's adequate enough for you to connect it to something else in order to generate the energy you need to charge the battery. This is thinking out of the box, okay? So say you get at a drugstore and you're scavenging, it's already been raided or whatever. So as you go in scavenging, you would have to look closely. And the reason why you have to look closely is because you will see things that you may not pay much attention to. I used to think, now, I'm going to use my wife as an example because I'm seeing a lot of her lifestyle in the research that I did. She used to be doing things around the house to find a bobby pin or a safety pin, and she'll put it in her clothes. And I didn't think much about it because all of a sudden, if she's cleaning or something, she might have three or four safety pins on her, or she might have some needles with your sew with. Put in a certain part of her body, and then she just pins them there. And then when she gets a place where she wants to put them all together, she takes them off and puts them there. So I asked her one day, I said, well, why do you do? She said, well, while I was cleaning, these are some things I found that I could probably find a use for. You see how even when they speak, they're speaking in terms of what the possibilities are. And that's what makes scavenging an excellent tool. We also want to be able to understand that in scavenging, we're looking for what may be a tool we can use or a reward for an effort. What is a reward for an effort? Well, say you walk down the street and you see a three-legged chair. Okay, so you pick that three-legged chair up and you take it back to the house, or you got a piece of wood, you put that piece of wood on that chair, and all of a sudden the chair is level. All right, then you don't really need it in your house, but if you want to, you could use it as a chair, or you could use it as a table, or you could use it as firewood. Every avenue of what you can do with scavenging cannot be limited to what the original use was, because your vision may be beyond that. And that's what we want you to cultivate. We want you to cultivate as looking at everywhere you go, the possibilities of what you see. If you see some PVC pipe, and the pipe might be 6-8 feet long, the possibilities of what you see. So you get that, you cut it in half, put it in your mirror, take it with you. You never know how you could use that PVC pipe, but you know what? If you're definitely doing some water filtration, that PVC pipe can guide the flow of water to its storage facility or wherever you're storing it at. See, so you have to have the vision to see something come to life before you. That PVC pipe might be a curtain hanger. Why do I say that? Because you just want to get the light. You want to block the light from escaping from where you are. You must have the insight and the understanding that everything you do serves a greater purpose. And in scavenging, all of these things come into play. Now, in my research, I'm finding out that even in your finances, scavenging is an excellent tool, because a lot of times the things that you do may not require you to have cash, but some of the things that you scavenge may be bartering tools. And we must remember, scavenging is not looting. See, our English language is interpreted by those who are interpreting what they see, i.e., during the Hurricane Katrina, they were saying that when there were scenes where black people who were going into the stores to get what they could, to whatever food they could, to take care of their families, when there were scenes of black people, and i.e., check this out, they called that looting. But when it was scenes of white people, they didn't call it looting. You know what they called it? They were calling it scavenging for food. You know why? Because scavenging serves a need. It's a play on words. But yet, when the black people were doing it, they never used those words, because looting sounds criminal. And that was the purpose of why they chose those words. Now, I bring that out to you because I want you to understand, when you are trying to survive, understand that there is nothing that really is beyond the circumstance of fulfilling your need. All right? So if you fire the place you want to scavenge, okay? You don't just go into that place you want to scavenge. Why? Because you don't know if it's a trap. You don't know if anything in there is going to be worth the value of you investing the time. As well as, you don't know who else is watching that place. And you don't want to go into a situation where your resources are being taken from you because you didn't do good due diligence, okay? So what I would suggest, if you have a group, then you should have a lookout. You see a place that you want to scavenge, you should check it out for several hours ahead of time. Several hours means send a scout to make sure the scout has binoculars and can see from a distance, make sure the scout has a radio and can convey what he sees, and make sure the scout is very observant, because literally the terrain plays a role. I mean, let's face it, if you got to go across a creek, down under a bridge, through a sewer, just to get to the place that you're trying to get to, you got to consider how you're going to get whatever you find out, and can you cover that same terrain to get it back to where you need. You see, everything plays a worth, and that's another thing, is it worth it? Because everything plays a role in you trying to attain a certain quality of life. All right?
Well, David, you have what, a call.
Okay, well, bring the phone call up, Scotty.
Okay. I think this is Brother Ramon again. 719, you're on Tando Radio Show. Go ahead with your question and comment.
Good afternoon, Brother Davis. How you doing, sir?
All right, Brother Ramon. How are you?
Can y'all hear me? I'm actually talking while I'm in my car. I'm sorry. But, Brother Davis, it sounds like you're saying something that I myself am a firm believer in, but I personally look at it that I impress upon young black men particularly, you cannot do anything if you don't know how to build. And this is something I realize we are not trying to establish in our schools. They've taken out the HBI programs. The average kid can't even read a tape measure.
That is true.
So I think some of this stuff that we're talking about, to even get them to understand something as simple as what you're talking about, if we teach them how to build first, some of that, because like what you're talking about, you're gonna have to break through that thick core of pride to get those guys to even think about that word scavenging as something positive. Often for me, I found that if you teach them a little bit of building skill, these guys tend to pick up and go further than we ever even thought they would. But the problem is, we got no one, and particularly in the black community, if from what I can see, and I've been in a lot of states as a builder, these guys don't want to learn how to build. How do we get that in their head? You cannot have a society if you do not know how to build.
Okay, well, let me take a shortcut at this, because literally they're going to be faced with a situation where they're hungry. And you'd be surprised how flexible people can be when they're hungry. And the reason why I say that is because, literally, if you don't have the skill to go out here and get you some food, but you have somebody around you that knows how to build, and because of that person applying their knowledge, they're being able to get food, and they're eating, guess what that person's going to want to do? He's going to want to hang out with you so that he can get some food. And when he's trying to eat, then you start teaching him, say, listen, the opportunity presented itself, so I want you to learn some things so that I don't have to be supervising you all the time. And that becomes your doorway, because, see, our children today have been brought up on TV. And TV teaches your children this, if nothing else. It teaches if you stand in front of them, you will be amused. So, therefore, they're not required to think. So all they got to do is be amused. So now we have to take them and transform that amusement into their hunger. Because in reality, this ain't about amusement here. This is about, if you don't work, you don't eat. And that becomes a leveraging tool in opening their minds, that if they apply this steel to use a saw and a nail and a hammer and a tape measure by watching someone else, and walking over to them and say, excuse me, I'm hungry, and I see that you over here, you work every day, and you seem to have something, they pay you with food or whatever, you need a helper. And you just, when you tell them, yeah, I need a helper, but I need somebody who's going to learn what I'm doing so that they can, I don't have to supervise them, and we can do more. You see, you have to open the door so that they can come in, because I'm going to tell you something, one thing about hunger, it will humble anybody. Because I'm going to tell you, the system is going to use hunger to manipulate a whole lot of the population. So we can use hunger to literally strengthen our children because of the circumstances that we are presently under. Remember, they ain't going to be able to sit in front of that TV no more, because in most cases, TV will not be available to them. And if so, they'll have to pay a cost for that. All right? So just keep that in mind, and always remember this. As long as you got a skill, you can teach somebody if they're willing, if they're ready to learn. But if they're not ready to learn, you have to discern that too, because that takes away from your dinner table. Go with those who want to learn, and those who don't, you have to let go. That's just that simple.
Brother
because
Davis,
those who want to learn will benefit.
Brother Davis, for some clarification, and I'm going to open your mic back up, Ramon, but we was getting a lot of background noise, and it was messing up the broadcast, so I had to mute you. But are we talking about scavenging in terms of survival situations? For example, if the grid goes down, if there's nuclear war, or any other kind of disruptions to what people are used to and not able to go to the store? Or are we talking about scavenging even right now, as this grid is still up? Because I think his question wasn't related to emergency situations. I think, and he can speak for himself, I'm gonna unmute him, but I took his question as meaning, how do we get our young people interested in just building and what construction, basically.
Hey, Scotty.
Yes.
You did an excellent job. And Brother Davis, no disrespect, and I'm glad Scotty actually caught that, because that's what I'm saying, first and foremost, is something I learned, and particularly from my own experience in life. What you're saying, Brother Davis, fits into the category of my generation, meaning 40 something and up. And because I'm just gonna be honest, I'm you know, I hire a lot of young guys. Okay, I mean, I just gotta be honest with you. These guys don't want to get their nails dirty. They don't want to report to work on time. They don't even know how to take. And I don't even like to call it constructive criticism, because if you don't know something, I can't criticize you. You learning, and if you getting mad about learning, then I ain't gonna never ever get a chance to give you any constructive criticism. These guys, and I ain't talking about just young black kids, but I'm saying, since that's our focus, these guys, if you put them in a desperate situation like you're talking about, I don't perceive them humbling themselves. I perceive them coming to take it.
You know what?
See, that's where...
Hold on, because I understand what you're saying, but these times are changing. And even if they think that they're coming to take it, they got to understand there's a cost for everything we do. And believe me, when you have a resource to come and take it with, it's a whole lot different when you come because you come out of need, because you're out here in the street. See, these people are not prepared, and we can't save everybody. But those who are, and those who are ready to learn, that's what we got to look for, because that is what we got to build on. We can't build on the mothers. You know why? Because they may, like you said, they may want to come to take. And if that's the case, they have to realize some people are going to have security to make sure that they can sustain what it is they have. You see, the first thing you must understand, you know, as the world is beginning to evolve to this next level, all of this perpetual programming that has taught people to fear and become destructive in their behavior is going to go full cycle. We cannot change with this whole, this what, the last 30 years of television kids, they've already been victimized by programming that makes them think that if they can't get it for free or their parents can't give it to them, maybe they can be in a gang that gets aggressive. Even those things change. But we can't save them all. And understand that, brother, because we're going to need people like you who have the skills when we come across those people who are ready and willing. Because I'm going to tell you something. If and when, they will have no choice, because there are people out here that want them dead just because of the color of their skin. So yeah, they're going to be angry, but we still have to take those who are willing and build with what resources they have and help them become better people with the skills that we can teach them. So,
did you have any other questions, Ramon?
Go ahead.
Ramon. Okay, can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Brother,
yeah,
David,
go ahead.
I don't want to take up a lot of your time. This your show. I'm going to say this. I agree to disagree, because there are some things in there that I believe I can't intelligently articulate them right now, so I'm going to try to, I'm not going to step into it any deeper, but I'm going to say I admire where your perspective about that is, because I really do. But even in the most soft core city like Colorado Springs, and I'm not saying anybody out here ain't got heart and ain't ready to do something, what I'm saying is it's an oasis of good living in Colorado. And Scotty spoke on some things that I would have loved to address, that some of that was true, and I would have to say the rest of it, you got to come see it for yourself. About the marijuana is what I'm talking about, Scotty.
Yeah, I got relatives live in Colorado. My ex-wife, people live there, and one of my cousins moved out there a couple of years ago.
Well, I'm in Colorado. I'm in Colorado 3 or 4 times a year easily.
And so then I'll say this just quickly on that subject, Scotty. I almost think later I had to look at it like this. It almost starting to look like a purging effect with that, okay? One day when you want to, we can talk about it a little bit more, and I'll share with you some more in-depth things here at the local level.
Yeah, you can do that on my regular program. I would love for you to have that conversation with me on my program, Black Talk Radio.
Yes, sir. Okay. But Brother Davis, I don't want to take up your time. This is your show. I want you to get your point across. I just want you to know that I support wholeheartedly what you're saying. At the same time, the only reason why I say I agree to disagree is because it's a different thing. It's one thing to say these guys are going to be forced into some type of decision Because I liken that to the concept that when guys go to prison, you got now you're forced to do something. What is it going to be? That's the real question.
All right, Brother Ramon, but hit me up on Black Talk Radio News to talk about what you've seen in terms of cannabis legalization in Colorado.
Okay, and I'm done with my question there, Brother Davis. That's all I was trying to ask, leaving it at that, okay? And I'll mute my line.
All right, brother. Look, I appreciate the courtesy of the call. And anybody else has a call, please.
Q&A queue is cleared.
We could bring the so-called preach the tire to the road. The reason being because we need to have these open conversations. But understand that, and I've been trying to get everybody to realize that in your spiritual nature, you're going to have to make some decisions that you're going to be very uncomfortable with. Just like these young people, a lot of them are going to be marauding the streets. Okay? There's a lot of them who think they're going to be able to go out here and take advantage of other people. But if you heard Dave speak about the 96 hours, he spoke about martial law. And he spoke about them hours in which no one will be on the streets, and if so, anything on the street will be killed. See, there's always a cost, and we hate to see that we have to pay a cost, literally, that could be unnecessary with a little preparation. And I'm going to tell you something. I love my people, but I know exactly what this brother's talking about. Believe me, I don't take what I do lightly, because I do know this. If we're going to get through this, it ain't going to be because one person was greater than another. It's going to be because those people who decided that they were going to work together to find a positive solution in their circumstance was able to make change in a lot of those people who joined their group. And believe me, sometimes change will be forced on. Now, getting back to, is there any more calls, Scotty?
No, not at this time.
Okay, getting back to scavenging, believe me, a lot of people don't want to respect the fact that it is a way of life. You don't have to have a diverse circumstance to be an exceptional person at scavenging and turning trash into treasure. But if you do possess those skills, by the time that comes when you really need them, you are more proficient at it. And those people who are with you will grow faster because you can help them with the insights that you have already had by living a lifestyle that offered you the opportunity to perceive the item in the rough or the diamond in the rough and see. We can't, and let me be very clear about this, we cannot focus on what we're trying to achieve based on what we would like other people to do, because other people may never do it. So that's why I've always said, we're going to get through this, but not everybody is going to live through it. It's just that simple. Some people are going to just submit, and then there's other people who are going to be victimized because they're not going to be able to get their medicines, they're not going to be able to sustain. They can't keep up. I've been saying about how we should be right now training our bodies to be able to live on one meal a day, how we should be able to convert from eating a whole hot meal a day to maybe that meal being dried fruit and some peanuts, and if we're on a real good day, having some fresh fruit or some fresh vegetables. This is the reality that we're coming to. And the reason why we're coming to this is because we have no control over what is going on. And we have things that we value, that we want to keep in our lives. I'm hoping that those things that you value are not material, because that may be something that is a sacrifice you may not want to make. But let me say this. If those people that we value, we want to be able to set some kind of structure up for, we're going to have to incorporate some aspect of scavenging into our lives so that we can literally stay together as best we can and feed everybody as best we can to get through this. Okay, in scavenging, if you see a place that you want to scavenge, like I said, you don't just go to it, always send a scout. Have the scout make sure they have binoculars, make sure they have a radio so they can convey what they see. Or a phone if cell phones are up. Okay, understand how I said that. And they want to have pencil and piece of paper so that they can jot down those things that are vital, and that thing that may be vital maybe the way that they see to get into a facility. Make sure that they record the terrain so that they can find, they can see that there's a way in, there's a way out. They want to also keep track of how many people they've seen during that period of time that they watch, and if the same people are coming back. You see, these things are tools that will help you identify whether you want to take a chance on going and scavenging in that particular place. Because there are going to be certain people who are going to look out and raid parties, and they're going to set up perimeters around places like this to see if they can track somebody and see what they have in reference to resources that can be to their advantage. So you have to be as cunning about aspects of scavenging during diverse times as possible. And don't think somebody is going to leave something of value to others unguarded, unprotected, or as a lure. And all of these things come into play because you still have to judge if the risk is worth the value of what you're trying to achieve. So, let's look at this from another aspect, okay? Let's look at it from the aspect of you're seeing a warehouse. Now, this warehouse seems to be abandoned, but yet there seems to be foot traffic every now and then. You see somebody go in one side, you see them leave. See, the whole thing about scouting is to decide on whether it's worth the risk of you taking the chance to go in. And then you have to plan. Always plan, because if you don't plan, you can become the victim. Okay, if it's time for a break, this is Brother Davis. Give us a call after the break. And believe me, we're going to go into some other areas, open our understanding of scouting. This is Brother Davis on Wise Wednesday.
You are tuned in to the Fando Radio Show. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND and star 61 to comment on air. We'll be right back.
Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public black radio for the masses.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. But listen, Noah, we just started to talk about how we should plan, okay? Even when you got a plan together and you got your group together, you know where you want the facility you want to check out. You also you want to know where to look. You want to know what to look for. You don't want to waste a lot of time, because you want everybody in your group to be able to go in the light and come out with things that you need. Understand how I say go in light? You don't want them carrying a whole lot of things, and maybe everybody should have a radio or ear attachment if possible. If not, that's fine, but at least have a radio so that you can communicate. If it's a group of four or a group of three, one has to be in a lookout position or a position where they can loot and look out. Everybody must understand, when you are in a situation that is diverse, you must be as good a lookout as you are a looter, because you have to be able to convey to your group when danger is approaching or you come across something that is dangerous so that you can convey that to them, and they all can take a specific posture. That specific posture may be to meet all in one spot, or go to the closest window and meet at one spot outside the facility. All of these things must be discussed up front so that you can go in with the same number of people and go come out with the same number of people. Because you have to understand, in diverse circumstances, those of you who live in the city are going to be determined to be able to stay in as long as you can. But there are going to be certain times of the day where you have the freedom to go out. Know where your water supplies are. Even if you can't guarantee the quality of the water, but you have a purification system, definitely be able to carry what you got, get your water, and leave. And remember this, the less amount of people that you converse with, the better it's all for you, because you never know what a person you're conversing with is conversing for. Okay? So if I was in a situation where I was in the city and I was leaving my home and I was going to get some water, I would take 2 buckets that I could carry, or I would take 3 or 4 plastic bottles that had tops on them. I would string them so that I could hang them on me, move as quick as I could, go down, fill them. Once I got them filled, I'm looking, I'm scavenging the whole time. I'm grabbing what I can and I'm getting back to the house as quick as I can, because guess what? The whole thing is that you want to maintain the security at the house as best you can. You might be one of those people who look for the government to provide. I'm telling you, if you look for the government to provide, the government's going to have a demand for that provision. All right? So that means that you're going to have to be subservient to whatever that demand is. That may be a little more than you're willing to do. If that is the case, then scavenging may be an opportunity for you to be able to avoid that altogether, because don't think for 1 minute. They're not counting and they're not identifying, and in some cases they may even be following. And that is because they want to be able to keep track of as many people as possible. And don't be surprised at what you see if it's martial law, because you might have to deal with the reality of people lying in the street that are dead and there's nothing you can do about them. They just haven't, the bodies haven't been collected yet. This is real talk, y'all. So if you think for a minute that the person right down there on the ground might have something on them, don't touch them unless you've seen them go down and you've seen the whole situation develop, because they may be booby-trapped, or they may be sitting back, somebody else may be sitting back looking for an opportunity to take advantage of you. You must always be focused on what you're there for, get in and get out. Okay? When it comes to scavenging, even clothes make a difference. Because if you're changing season and you don't have a winter coat, and you see the opportunity to get a winter coat, and that winter coat may be filthy, get that coat. Because you can always do things to change and clean that coat. And once that coat is dried out and worthy to be worn, now you have a warm garment looking into the warm months. I don't know if you people have seen the movie The Book of Eli. Well, there's a scene in there where literally he has old boots that literally is walking on paper. So when he came across a dead body, he literally took the boots off the body to judge the size. Now, here's what's so unique about that scene. He had his feet wrapped in saran paper. Why? So that they could be able to sustain a circulation as well as be able to be shielded from as many of the elements as possible. These things all become tools. So you must think with your mind as well as utilize the creative aspect of your thinking in order to be able to achieve what you want. Not everybody is going to be looking out for the good in the circumstance. So you have to be just as vehement about your safety, about the safety of your group. And remember this, if you are a part of a group, and you see somebody that's not pulling their weight, you got to bring it to the group's attention. Because if you come out and say, well, this person ain't doing this and that person ain't doing, you're creating dissension in the group. You must bring to the group, look, so-and-so ain't pulling their weight. And we need those resources for those people who are seriously trying to pull their weight. And you must bring it into the group so that the group can see it from a perspective as a neutral person. Because if you look in there and you're constantly pointing, people may not see the sincerity. They may see you as being a divisive part of the group. And that may change the dynamic that you're in because of how you perceive some. So you always want to be able to bring even what you scavenge into the group, because your vision on something specific may not be as clear as someone else. So what you scavenge, another person may be more creative with bringing value to that thing than you are. So that's why it's important to have open discussions in the group, because you may not have that know-how that someone else has that can convert something into a useful tool that you may not have perceived. One of the things that make a group work is when everybody is in on what is going on and know what the responsibility is, not only of themselves, but of the person beside them. Because the more they know, the more effective they are in the group. Getting back to scavenging, when you're looking at foliage, right on the ground, if you have the ability to identify what is edible, and you know how to prepare that, then you got to be able to convey that to people so that when they're going and they're seeing that, they can pick that up too. So say you got 15 people that are out that day and they're doing various odd jobs, and those various odd jobs have them seeing something as simple as dandelions. That's an edible plant. It just has to be prepared a specific way. So all of a sudden, they start grabbing dandelions, and you look up and one has a half a pound, one has a quarter of a pound, one has a pound. When those 15 people come together, you might have 3 or 4 pounds of dandelions that would offer a modicum of nutrition to whatever the meal is that night. Okay? And the reality is that there's going to be some meals that you ain't going to want to think about, but you're going to want to need the nutrition from. So don't take and look at anything with a side eye. Always be forward in your thought, because in reality, what you convey to somebody else in the group, they may see it on a different level and can be able to do something to enhance whatever it is that you see. All right, let's get back to the aspect of scavenging in the city. You know, you see cars, people have to know when you get in a car, you don't want to stick your hands in places you can't see, okay? But you do want to look in the glove compartment, you want to look under the seats, you want to pull the seats up, you want to look in the trunk, you want to get in the trunk in a manner in which you may have to go through the back seat if you don't have a key. But if there's something in there that may become a useful tool, you at least have to have the ability to spot it and get it out so it becomes a part of the whole, okay? It might be a tractor trailer on the side of the road. These are things that are subject to happen in diverse circumstances. And if that is the case, it might be carrying food, it might be carrying tools, it might be carrying a medical, but you never know. But in reality, if you could get in there and just get enough for the group, you did your job. And these are all attributes of what scavenging is on that particular level. Now let's look at food. There are going to be times when you're just hungry. So you're going to need to have the vision to be able to separate those foods that are overripe, those from those that are rotten. And understand that you're going to have to know how to take that food and get as close to edible as you possibly can so that you can get the nutritional value out of it. We don't know where this is going. And the reason why we don't know where this is going is because we have no control over it. If we would, we would never put ourselves in this position. So we literally have to be able to communicate, hopefully build groups, and hopefully expand into communities and be able to expand ourselves into a modicum of humiliation amongst humans. Because literally, when we treat each other in an inhuman manner, then that inhuman manner takes trust in those people who see. So if you do something inhuman and a child sees it, then that may be acceptable to that child, and that child may not even realize on the level that you are. You see what I'm saying? So all of these things play a role. Now, in doing this thing on scavenging, I'm coming across a lot of things that I really, off the top of my head, I can't really collate my thoughts on. Because literally everything comes into play. Okay, don't think scavenging is any one area. All right? It might be, you might come across a cache of coins. So you need to separate the coins, the copper from the silver. because the copper only brings you so much, but the silver may mean more. And then you're not looking at the spending value or the value of the coin. You're looking at the purpose value of the material that the coin is made out of. All of these things become tools. And I cannot begin to get you to understand the importance of being able to convey what it is that you scavenge today and how it can help the group. And that's another thing. You must always think in terms of the group. Because when you think in terms of the group, everybody is looking on the same level. But if you find somebody that's hoarding food, or that's taken away from the group, or that's not exposing what they have to the group, then you're going to look for dissension in the group. And one of the things that keeps a group close is when there's almost no dissension. Why do I say almost no dissension? Because there's always going to be somebody who feels that they have a right, okay? Say there's a person with a shovel, and you need that shovel to dig the garden. But that person might get possessive with that shovel that day. The work needs to be done during the light hours, because guess what? At night, you can't do the same thing you could do during the day. You never know how people are going to react, so it's important that you keep the communication and the ability to be able to come to the group always open. And another thing is, you must teach. Everything that you go out and do, you must teach. Even if they're not there to learn, you must teach. You might go out that day and find three or four spools of thread, and you pull on them, and the thread's pretty strong. Well, that thread can come in handy on a many different ways. So when you get it back, you want to clean it, you want to sterilize it, because you may not know what you want to do with it. It may be white. Then again, it may be a color. So if you boil it, that color may come off. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot of different things that can work to the advantage of the group. So you must always keep that in mind. And chemicals. You might come across a stash of alcohol, just rubbing alcohol. Okay? Now, that can be used for multiple purposes. It could be used for medicine. It could be used for cleaning. It can be used for multiple purposes. But you may not have the vision. Just get it back to the group. Because even if you don't use it all, it may become a bartering tool with other groups. And you see, that's how you're going to build community, by being able to open yourself up enough to be able to do some trade, so at least that you are conversing back and forth. Because once again, we don't know how bad this is going to be, but we do know this, that we have been targeted. And why do I say we've been targeted? Because nobody in the major media system is giving you the information that you're getting from the alternative media systems. Nobody in the major media system is giving you the truth as you are getting it from some of the major alternative systems. And a major media system is trying to keep you in the dark for some reason. And that's the only reason can be control. Why do they want them to be able to have so much control over you? You do not really want to know. So if you can get out of those situations where they're totally controlled, which would be most cities will already have an interstate that goes around them, around the whole city. So therefore, they already have a way to contain everybody in the city. And you can bet your bottom dollar, they definitely have a way to contain the black people in the black part of town. So you want to be able to look at the parameters, see what avenues of escape that are even possible, because you may want to examine that after a period of time. So when you do your scavenging, you need to be focusing on what was open. Was there a sewer over there? Where does that sewer go? Did you ever walk through that sewer? Because sometimes that's what you're going to do while you're scavenging. You're going to take your life and you're going to go into some places you ain't going to want to go. But don't go alone. Because if you go alone, you allow yourself to be in this possible situation of victimization. And we do not want anybody to be victim. Understand again, not everybody's going to get through this. So we have to stay smart. We have to think ahead, and we must plan and work our plans. Okay? So now, when it comes to the community, meaning that when they try to reestablish the government, what kind of connection do you want with that? How much of the government do you want to know of your group? Meaning that, do you want them to even know that your group? Because they're going to focus on the people that come to them. The reason being is because they have a need When you go to the government and the government supplies you a need, they're taking and recording everything. So if you can live without that connection, it's best that you do, because as they begin to put and clamp down on the groups that they have, you'll hear their remnants, and you'll also hear when it's time to move or if you're in a situation where it's a safe spot. Because literally, those people you expose to you are only going to be of service when they are getting something. But if the government is going to offer them something, they will offer you up. Make no mistake. So don't think that you're going to be able to go out here and build alliances without there being a cost. Just keep your mouth shut, do your trade, and keep moving. Oh, well, where you guys hung up at? I don't even know. We're constantly moving. But where do you guys stay? We're transit. We're constantly moving. Well, I see you came here 2 or 3 times this week. Where you guys at? We're constantly moving. They don't need to know nothing about where you are or where you're situated. Only people who need to know that are the people in the group and those groups that are close to you that you are doing trade with or conversing with. Because they, you could set up alarm signals in which your group may be victimized by a certain degree of raid or attack. But if you have an alarm system, something as simple as a bell, where somebody's going to go out and bring this well, you're alerting other groups that something is going on, whether there's radio contact or not. These are the things that you want to keep in mind, because as you build your group, you would like to add on to the community. And the community is going to only find you to be a service when they see that you are willing to do the things that's going to help them be of service. So if you guys have a central place where there's a bell, and all of a sudden your community or cul-de-sac is being attacked, and you can get one person to that bell to ring that bell, anybody within the hearing distance of that bell now knows to be alerted. And these things are just called self-survival principles in times of duress. And believe me, you may not realize how simplistic it is, but it's really very simple. Some people will not see that. Actually, the way the system is today, they don't want you to see life as simplistic as it is, because they bring confusion into everything. Okay? They make order out of chaos. That is why they're called the government, because they need a certain degree of chaos. And if they see that you are in chaos, they're looking for the people who are ready to conform, because they know that they can take those people who they're ready to conform and utilize them until they don't want them, and then they can extinguish them or eliminate them or get rid of them any way they choose, because they've already submitted themselves. So make no mistake, scavenging is going to be a very necessity in this time of duress. And these circumstances that are upon us right now, they're already being faced in other countries. You see, a lot of times people fail to realize the things that are going on in a place, perfect example, Venezuela. It wasn't 2 weeks after the Olympics were there where the place literally exploded. Now, could they see the signs before the Olympics ended? Absolutely. But those people who were there, who could, they didn't stay in Venezuela. They got out of the city because there's not as much chaos in the countryside. They could go out and possibly become a part of a village, part of a tribe. And now all they have to do is bring in their expertise or operate in the order of the tribe, because those type of communities are always looking for helpers to expand, but they also want them to be able to see themselves a part of. But some people are just transient. They might be there for a season, and then the next season they move on. But that's all right, because that's not unusual in that part of the world. Here in the United States, that may become a reality. The income, the economy that takes place in the city will not be the same economy that takes place on the countryside. And why? Because in the countryside, the order that will be out there will be established by those people who consider themselves warlords. All right? And those people who consider themselves warlords are the ones who run the biggest gun. But here's the difference. One shot by somebody can change the order of everything. And that person that literally takes that shot is probably someone who literally feels that they might have been victimized by that person. See, when there is no order, then people can become lawless quickly. But if there is an order in the community, people will look out for each other. And when people look out for each other, and all of a sudden somebody feels like they can be lawless, the community can take a stand and eliminate that. And that may come down to eliminating that person, to be for real. So don't think for a minute that if you get together with a group, that your vision should be contained in that group. No. Your vision must be wider, more expansive. Because literally, there's certain things going to happen. You're not going to be able to travel a lot. Why? Because they're going to want to be able to control the roads. And in order for them to control the roads, you see them putting lights, the cameras everywhere. Now, let's bring in the aspect of drones. Drones are all over America now. Police departments are buying drones. You know what that does? That enhances the police industrial complex. And why? Because corporations have told those police departments that we can make a profit off you, but we can give you something you can use. We can militarize you. And you know what? Corporations want that to happen because that gives them more control over the local community. So they're utilizing your tax dollars to buy the very tools of mass destruction to utilize in your community. So don't think for a minute that there's going to be something that you will not do. So those of you saying, well, I don't think I ever have to scavenge, you better have more than enough supplies. And you better have your supplies in a place that you've already kept quiet. Because if somebody knows you got them supplies, when their time of duress comes, guess where they come in? Absolutely. So, I'm urging you to call. We have about a half hour left. Beat that. Call. Make the attempt to be able to reach out and extend your question, because your question may be just what somebody else needs to hear, or it may be something that I can open the door to another directive in this conversation. But this is not going to be a one show on scavenge, because as we go along, we're going to finite our scavenging. We're going to go from general scavenging to food scavenging. What things can we use? You see a basketball net on the ground, you could use that. How would we use it? It's not to be determined at the time, but you could see that it has material that can be used. And that sometimes that's just all you're going to have to do. You're going to have to determine if you can use the material, if you can't use what its original purpose is for, how can it be advantage to you? Not everything will be used, but some of those things that can be used can also be tools. Now, once again, I'm giving you a shout out to tell you that to call in. Now, during this next half hour, I'm going to have my wife come in and with some different ideas, because she comes from a different perspective. And her perspective may be, it may be for women, it may not be, don't get me wrong. The only reason why I'm doing this is because she has an expertise about this that I've never really reflected on in such a manner until I really did my due diligence on scavenging. And you know what's interesting? I've been with this woman and seen her do this and never identified it as scavenging. I always looked at it as turning trash into treasure, turning another man's trash into another man's treasure. I didn't realize that the principles that she was operating in is literally a professional lifestyle. We were fortunate in a lot of cases because literally we've done very well over our time. But there were days where we had some hard times too. And I could tell you, she could tell you a story about some greens we scavenged one time, but we didn't have nothing to eat. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't know what they were. You hear me? I did not know what they were. But she said, wait a minute. And she stopped. And I thought it was somebody just cut down a tree. And she's like, peeling this tree. And she got to put it inside. And she said, no, let's grab the big one. Well, by the time we got to the house, she was cutting these leaves off. Brother and sister, we had a 4.5-foot tree of collard greens. I didn't see it. You understand how I'm saying this? So by the time she got out the house and we were tripping it, we had about 500 big leaves off it. So you can imagine, we had to clean this thing in the bathtub. That's how much of a tree of grit of Greenville. And I'm going to tell you, to this day, it's a great memory for us. So listen, it's the next half hour. If we're at a break time, Scotty, let me know, because we like people to call in and give us your stories, because I'm going to tell you something. That is true.
Yeah, we are at our break, okay. And we do have a caller in queue that we'll come to after.
Okay, bring
the break.
Yeah. All right, and I tell you what, Scotty, should we bring him up now or bring him up after the break? Okay, I tell you what, hang on, caller. We're going to bring you up after the break. I'm also going to bring my wife into the conversation. This is Brother Davis on Wise Wednesdays, and we're talking the first level of scavenging 101. Look forward to your call.
Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium. And we're back. Let's go ahead and pick up this phone call. Area code 718, you're on Tando Radio Show with Brother Davis. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hi, this is Wade. Just wanted to chime in on what you guys are saying. I've been on the show in the past. I don't know if David remembers me. Wade? My name is Wade.
Oh, I remember you, David. David is not with us tonight, but I remember you.
Okay, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay. You are the one that was with the what was that guy's name? Drake or something like that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, yes, I recall.
He's a whistleblower.
Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted to give my perspective on the whole situation and what I feel that as a people and a community what we should be doing. I mean, we already know the plan of the enemy. I mean, we know that they're planning for our destruction. Here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn the cops against the people, the civilians. That's what they're trying to do. Whatever, we're talking about blacks, whites, Hispanics, any race you could think of. Basically what they're trying to do is cause chaos. And you mentioned that earlier on in the show. They want order out of chaos, and that's one of the things that they're pushing. Now, who's behind this? Who's some of the names behind this? People like George Soros, one of the richest persons in the world. He's one of them. Bill Gates, the Rothschilds, and just to name a few. So, I understand what you guys are saying, here's what we need to do. We need to come together as a people. You know, we can't have, I mean, like Black Lives Matter. I support them, but the way they're doing the protest is not the right way to do it.
There is no right way to protest. I'm going to disagree with you there. There is no right way to protest. Whether you on your knees and not participating in a slaver's anthem, or if you out there busting up police cars, there are people who will always say, oh, that's not the right way. So whether you on your knees begging for them to do something about these killer cops, or if you take to the streets and destroy some property, the response is always the same. And one thing, though, about cops turning cops against us, the cops always been against the black community, and that's documented in history, and I don't even call them cops. I call them slave catchers, because the prison population, which is the largest in the world, would not exist if not for slave catchers.
And you're correct. I agree with, I totally agree with what you're saying, but you got to realize there's a bigger hand behind what's going on.
Well, I understand that. What could be worse than slavery? But now they're moving towards slavery for everybody and not just non-white people.
And this is why I'm saying, like, for example, black-on-black crime, that needs to stop immediately. I mean, if we want to win, we can't be fighting and killing each other. And that's basically what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to come together as a people.
Well, bro, I agree.
Hold on. This, you're absolutely right. But this is not the forum for that particular conversation tonight. Now, I would suggest that you call Dave so we could get together and have a specific show or a town community radio show where we could literally put these things out. But right now, as things stand, we got to give people the tools that they can work with in the circumstance that's going to befall them beyond their control. And so, that's why we set up the show on Scavenger. We definitely extend the invitation to you to call and maybe to set up a forum in which presenting that would be more suitable. But right now, we're trying to give them some key elements that they can start building on so that when things do happen, they not only have the ability to communicate with people that are like-minded and look like them, but they can be able to get out here and do some things that's going to help them as individuals in the circumstance. So we like you to give us a call back, but tonight isn't really the good time for that particular show.
Yeah, no, I realize I went off on a tangent. I just wanted to, because I do plan on coming back on the show, because we've done a previous show. So that's why I did that.
Hey, come on Black Talk Radio News and have that conversation that you want to have. I had that conversation with you. But do you got any tips on scavenging?
You mean like a barter system?
Well, that's a part of it. That's a part of it.
I mean, well, I've been advocating that for a while. I've been one of the person advocating that, you know, because we could use certain things as collateral, because certain things have certain value that we could use, you know.
Excellent.
People need to realize that in order to beat the system, you got to go outside of the system. So, I mean, we got to move away from paper money for now, because they're going to try to collapse the economy anyway.
Well, actually, they are sick. As far as money is concerned, they've already done that outside the United States.
Yeah, that's practice. That's practice to bring it here. That's what I was trying to. I mean, that's some of the intel that I have.
Yeah, well,
everything you see in Ukraine and all those places, they're trying to bring it here.
Yeah, but we're trying to focus on how we can prepare our people who are within earshot on how to be prepared for that as best they can, and that's why we do shows like tonight's show. But okay. Listen, brother, do give us a call back where we can converse on that.
I want to know if I could bring my contact on the other show, because he has a...
Okay, well, I tell you what, that's something you should call Scotty with and work that out. We don't have a problem with it.
You mean David?
Well, either or is fine.
Yeah, my email address.
They're going to converse about it anyway.
My email address is admin@blacktalkradionetwork.com. But we do got another caller, so I'm going to go ahead and move on to.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, area code 609, you're on Tando Radio Show with Brother Davis. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Greetings to you, Scotty. Greetings to you, Brother Davis. This is Ross. How you doing?
Okay. Excuse me, Brother Ross. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Great show tonight. I did have some ideas about scavenging, too. I just wanted to say briefly to the brother that was just speaking and discussing black-on-black crime, study the system of white supremacy, and you'll understand why we function that way. We were bred to be that way, and it's white people that are the culprits. Do not blame other black people. The problem is white people. Not to get to what I wanted to say is essentially I wanted to talk about what we've talked about previously about different books in regards to plants, edible plants in different parts of the United States. And I was thinking if people, whatever region that they reside in the U.S., start purchasing those books if they're not familiar with these plants themselves, and start taking nature walks with your children, with your family, and start going, looking around the area, both in the city environment and in the rural or more natural areas and see where these edible plants are located, so that when these situations, when this situation develops to the point that it does, you will have a map of where in your community you're able to access these things. Because I don't think a lot of people, especially our people, I don't think we really study this sort of stuff. So there's a lot of times where you might be literally walking past edible plants every day on your way to or from the train station, or when you go out with your family, and you're just not consciously aware that these items are things that you can use for food. So that's something that I think we should definitely start doing with our families, just so we can facilitate teaching the children as well as teaching each other about these things to utilize it in a time of survival. Also, when you were talking about contributing, being able to contribute to the group that you're working with, and the fact that you won't eat if you don't, the brother, I think it's Ramon, who was talking about that earlier, he's absolutely right. I think that that really would apply to those people that are 40 and over. That's something my mom used to tell me all the time. If she would ask me to go to the store to get seasoning for her to, you know, prepare a meal, and I gave her attitude, or I said I didn't want to go, I didn't eat. She's like, hey, if you're not going to help facilitate me creating this meal, then don't partake of it when I'm done. And essentially, a lot of the children, I think, like you were saying, and like even Ramon was saying, a lot of them have been so conditioned, like you said, they've been victimized just by technology and the entire lifestyle they've been provided by the system of white supremacy. So they are not used to having to be a contributing member to the group in an active way in order to be the recipient of the fruits of their labor in the way that the older generations have. So it's something that we have to start trying to condition and change that mindset in our children just by doing little exercises. When you talk about how you function with your grandchildren, I think these are techniques that other black people can use to try and shift the consciousness of those young people that they're in contact with, or family members that that might actually be able to assist them in survival when this thing really hits the fan. And then also I thought a skill to develop would be lockpicking, simply because you never know when you come across a building that seems to be abandoned and it's locked, and you might not be able to get through that door the normal way in order to scavenge. But if you have lockpicking skills, you should be able to do so, at least, you know, if you develop those skills to be able to get into that building without damaging the door, and that way you can access goods and leave that area in a way in which it doesn't even look like you touched the building. So these are things that's something that I think that people should learn. They sell little five-piece lock picking kits on Amazon, to the really extensive ones with like 28, 30, 40 pieces. But the idea is to just get familiar with that process and how it works, because it's something that could potentially save your life in an emergency situation where you come across a building that could potentially have items that you can utilize or that you can scavenge to barter. Thank you.
You know, one of those things Ross had brought up a couple of shows ago. Ross, I got me a bow on layaway, man, a crossbow on layaway.
Nice.
Even though I have weapons that I can hunt with, you know, that hunting in silence, because you give away your location, you know, with a rifle or something, unless you got a silencer.
Yeah.
So I got me a crossbow on layaway.
Wonderful. Yep, I got two of them. And another thing people could think about for hunting small game and possibly medium-sized game is a .22 air rifle, because air rifles are also silent. But if you get the right one that has the right feet per second behind that ball,
yeah,
you can take out small to medium-sized game and be silent about it, so no one will know what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Okay, listen, brothers, I'm gonna move this here. I want to get my wife in here so she can give a perspective. Hopefully it's something that other women could actually see, or something that we could consider also be an attribute in our circumstance. So here's Erica Davis.
Greetings, everyone. I'm just going to take a few minutes just to give you a little bit of heads up, like you said, on the scavenging. I know we don't have a lot of time to stick about at the end of the show, but one of the things I do want to say is right now in the fall is a good time to go to garage sales. I like yard sales, but I tend to find more of what I need in this type of circumstance in a garage sale. Because they will open a garage, and to them, they say, oh, this is all junk, we don't want any of this. And then instead of moving it out to the yard, they just let you go in and see what you want. You can go through boxes or through cabinets or stacks of clothing, or And I always find that you find really good tools there. Very seldom will I turn down any type of tool, whether or not I know how to use it or not. If it's a screw or a bolt or a wrench of some type, I buy them. Especially a lot of times you can get them for $1 or something like that. So I do like to buy tools. I like to buy jars. When you do stuff like canning, if you go to the grocery store or the Walmart to buy those mason jars, they're a fortune. Some people will, in a garage sale, sell you a whole box of them or a whole crate for $2 or $3 because they don't care, and they run $2 or $3 a piece. They might be filthy dirty, but if it's glass, you can wash them by hand, wash them in a dishwasher, you can sterilize them, and you can reuse them because I like to go back and reuse things. Now, the lids, you can buy the lids brand new because they're pressurized. And that lids, you can get a whole box for $2 or $3. But the mason jars themselves are very expensive. But at yard sales or garage sales, they almost give that away. Also, people who are moving, another way that I buy a lot of stuff, they might have a yard sale because they're moving. And another week or so after they move, they leave everything that they didn't want. Where? Out front. It's usually only there for a day or so. But if you can kind of coordinate, especially if it's in your neighborhood or around your neighborhood, people who are moving, they will just set aside or leave in the backyard or leave in the front yard stuff that they didn't want to take. And sometimes it might be lawn chairs or kid toys, that type of thing. So just kind of pay attention to that. Another thing I pay attention to is the garage days in the wealthier neighborhoods. Now, everybody, wherever you live, you know, on the other side of the railroad tracks or whatever, there's another little affluent housing complex or more affluent residential complex. If their garage day is Wednesday, start checking them out riding through the neighborhood on Monday night or Tuesday when they start putting that stuff out. Sometimes you can find a plethora of stuff, people's old carpets. Now, I'm really funny about carpet because you got to smell it and see what's going on. But I have found some beautiful carpet. A lot of times they have kid toys. Sometimes you can find things like grills, things like that. And then, a lot of times I just recycle it. My husband looked at me and said, "A woman, we don't need another grill." I said, "I know, but I'm going to sell it in my garage sale. Clean it up a little bit, put $10 or $15 on it, and if they say best offer, okay, best offer under $15 takes it. Well, guess what? I got it for free." Now, Dave and I, we had planned on doing a scavenging show and a downsizing show. I would like to do scavenging and downsizing kind of like a seesaw, because one thing you have to do right now. Now, we thought we kind of were going to have a little bit more time, but according to what the news is saying and all that Rush is doing and all this stuff that's going on, it doesn't look like we're going to have as much time as probably we thought. But what we need to start doing, and women and men on the call right now, just start thinking in your house, what don't you need? If you've got a couple of TVs that you really don't need, this would be a nice weekend, get rid of them. Because in a couple of weekends, after this whole thing really explodes, nothing's going to be of value. One thing about this Tando show is we are a little bit ahead of the game, so we can start downsizing, getting rid of this stuff before it floods the market. So video games, ladies with the pocketbooks, stuff that you really don't want and you really can't use, just start to downsize. Put them all in one spot. Maybe have your church lady friends or some of the, if you have a man cave with the beer signs and all, put all that aside and have some of your friends come and get it. You know what I mean? Because if they were listening to this show weekly, they would have a heads up of what's coming next, that they don't really need to buy this. But since they're not listening, and most of us are telling our friends and family, they're not paying us any attention, hey, what we can do, get rid of the stuff and let them, whoever buy it, and then take that money, like Scotty said, put your stuff on layaway, get some tents. Right now, Walmart, all those places are starting to put tents and camping gear on layaway, on clearance. Start buying what we need with the money that we are downsizing with. And also scavenging. If you scavenge and your stuff that you get, you don't need, but you saw it, it was free or a low price, and you bought it, you can put that also on your list of things that other people are going to buy. Unfortunately, it's going to be a seesaw, downsizing and scavenging. But I tell you, like you said, I've been doing this since from a small child because my dad did it. He wasn't like Fred Stanford and had a bunch of stuff like that, but he always kind of looked at the back side of something. He always had a different eye. My mom also had the same eye, so I was brought up with it. And I just elaborated on it. I have also purchased furniture from places like Habitat for Humanity. That's a really great place that has a lot of tools and furniture, older furniture and stuff that people donate. I'll take stuff home, and I do something called decoupage, which is it's French for taking material, you put it like an Elmer's glue on it, and then you can attach that material to a smooth surface. When it dries clear. So you could take something and change the whole flavor of what something looks like or the texture of something. And I do it all the time. I take old furniture, spray paint it, redo the cushion, or I'll take the decoupage and change it and put material on it, and I'll sell it. Or some friend of mine is coming over my house, oh, girl, where'd you get that? Oh, well, that's $20. Oh, girl, I'll give you $20 for it. I bought it for nothing. I'm not going to tell her I bought it for nothing, and it cost me $5 to apply my art to it. But, hey, you know, she's going to buy it from somebody else, but she can buy it from me. So, oh, the Greens. The story of the Greens. We were living in San Diego, and we had walked our children to school, and the children were young, and we had dropped the children off. And, yes, we were very hungry. It was a situation, you know, rent was due and only so much money and only a few things you can do, and food ended up not being what we had. So we were walking, and it was a Chinese guy who was renovating a house. So out front, he had some boards and things, and he had this long tree-looking thing that was about 4.5 feet long. And when I went over and I could smell it, smells familiar. And so I went over to it, and I just rubbed the leaves, and I smelled it, and I knew what it was. And I told my husband, just pick up the other end, and let's keep going. And we just kind of picked it up, and I didn't really do a lot of talking, because sometimes if somebody sees you have an idea of something of value, like you might say, oh, look at that, or you run over to it, or, you know, you have this look in your eye like it's worth something to you, somebody will come over and tell you it costs $10. If you look at something like, what is that thing over there? I don't, you know, is that good? Is that real silver? Is that real copper? What is that? It looks all rusty. If something doesn't look like it has value, you kind of throw your nose up to it, they think you don't know what it is because they don't know what it is, and then you can get it for cheaper. I do that all the time, especially with silver. I buy silver goblets and stuff that are all rusty, completely, not rusty, but tarnished. And to them, they think tarnished is bad. If you know silver, tarnished is good because that means that it's pure silver. Then you take it home and you shine it up and it turns bright and shiny like you know silver to look. So I buy a lot of silver that way in garage sales. But I want to go back to this collard green. So yes, by the time we got home, someone had thought it was a big weed. The Chinese guy, he had no clue. Now, if it might have been somebody else in the South, they would have known. But this Chinese guy did not know what it was, and he threw it out to the trash heap for the trash cleaner tape. And it was greens that would have probably grown for about 3 or 4 years. And the leaves of this green, of this collard green, felt like velvet. It was so soft and just the most soft velvet you ever want to feel. So we took it home, and it was so much, it was so big, we cleaned it in the bathtub, and then we gave a lot of it away, and we sold a lot of it. And guess what? We had food to eat. So that's how you kind of just have to think of something on the back end. Just kind of revise something in your mind.
All right. Well, Sister Davis, we got to get ready to wrap up the program. Did Brother Davis, you have any final thoughts for the listeners as we get to wrap up? Because we got to transition to another program, and I got a lot to do.
Yes. Okay, this is Brother Davis on another Wise Wednesday. I want to bring something to you that you could use. I want to make tools out of every aspect of the time we spent together, and look forward to the opportunity for us to expand on this here in future shows. I'd like to thank my sister, I mean my wife, Emma Queen, for her input, and I'm encouraging her to do more in the future. Scotty, This is the time where I turn the show over to Dave. So back to you, brother. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Brother Davis, and thank you to all the callers for their questions. Let me clear the caller's queue.
Q&A queue is cleared.
As we get ready to wrap up Tando Radio Show, Brother Dave, as you know, could not make it today, but he will be back tomorrow if nothing happens. So look forward to tomorrow's broadcast of Tando Radio Show. Coming up here in just about 6 minutes, we will be broadcasting New Abolitionist Radio, where you can learn about 21st century slavery and human trafficking. A lot of people falsely believe that slavery was abolished in 1865 by the trickster, also known as Abraham Lincoln, but that is not true. And we cover all of those issues on New Abolitionist Radio every Wednesday night. So for Dave and the rest of the Tando Radio family, peace and blessings. Good night.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.